Hello and welcome once again to The Way I See It, and my name is Vanessa Coleman. Today I am going to be reading the daily debrief from Roger Helmer, who is UKIP's MEP, and it's dated the 30th of March. The first heading is Port Talbot, a victim of the EU. The decision of Tata to sell off the Port Talbot steelworks is a disaster for the workers and for the town. It is also a direct result of EU policies. We need to see it in context. Port Talbot is merely the latest closure. All over Europe, energy-intensive businesses are closing. Steel, aluminium, petroleum refining, chemicals and fertilisers, glass and ceramics. Jobs are being lost. Investment is moving offshore in search of cheaper energy and more realistic regulatory regimes. As I said in yesterday's debrief, there are three main reasons for the Port Talbot closure, and they all result from EU policies: energy costs, anti-dumping measures, and short-term state aid. It is sickening to see Anna Soubry, Minister of State for Small Business, Industry and Enterprise, in the media insisting that the government is doing all it can, when she knows it can do practically nothing. Even more sickening to hear her arguing for Britain to remain in the EU, when she knows, or ought to know, that EU membership is closing down energy-intensive businesses across Europe. UKIP is the only party prepared to face up to this situation and the only party with practical policies to offer hope to workers under threat. The next heading is Gus O'Donnell. It could take more than 2 years to negotiate a new deal with the EU. Former Cabinet Secretary Gus O'Donnell joins the scaremongers, warning that the two-year renegotiation period provided by the Lisbon Treaty could be too short. While the period can be extended by mutual agreement, he implies that we could find ourselves out in the cold. The answer is the same as it's always been. With our balance of trade with the EU, they simply can't afford not to have a deal in place. BMW and Mercedes and Audi have business plans. They cannot accept that those plans should be thrown into chaos by politicians' failure to establish positive trade terms. If anything, I see another threat. If agreement were reached to extend the period, negotiations could go on indefinitely. They could continue past the next UK general election, and an incoming government could claim that its electoral mandate superseded the referendum result. We must not let this happen. Another heading: Prime Minister's astonishing rant against Syed Kamal, MEP. Conservative MEP Syed Kamal, MEP, is leader of the ECR group in the Parliament and recently declared for Brexit. I had hoped and expected that he would, since I knew he was opposed to the EU membership and I regard him as a decent and honourable man who would put country before career. But the Mail reports that when Cameron heard that Kamal was leaning to Brexit, he launched into an extraordinary rant. Amongst other things, Cameron told Kamal that his career would be finished and that he would be ousted as leader of the ECR group. He is quoted as saying, "I made you and now you're finished." Cameron's extraordinary conceit and hubris still have the power to shock. Of course, party leaders and prime ministers have considerable influence over selection procedures, but in the Tory party, it is the members who select candidates, and of course, the public who vote in general elections. And if there were a new election in Brussels for leader of the ECR group, I suspect that Syed would win at least as strongly as he did the last time, and perhaps better. If Cameron proposes a vendetta against pro-Brexit Tories, he is effectively declaring war on his own party. I believe he could destroy it, since the majority of Tories, I believe, would support Kamal against Cameron on Brexit. Cameron may also like to reflect that if we vote to leave, there is likely to be a new pro-Brexit leader of the Tory party. I know that Syed Kamal would dearly love to have a winnable Westminster seat, and I suspect that after this, rather a lot of Tory constituency associations would like to have him. Next heading is UK coasts unprotected as patrol boats are sent to the Med. The Express reports that the UK shoreline is unprotected as coastal patrol boats are sent to the Mediterranean to control migrant numbers. A very sad reflection on the state of our border forces. Maybe some of the £10 billion we hope to save in EU budget contributions should go to coastal protection. And maybe protecting our shores should be a higher priority than protecting Greece. Next heading, charities to campaign for the EU. The Charities Commission has clarified its advice regarding charities involving themselves in the referendum debate. Lawyers could argue over the exact meaning of the advice, which seems to me to change little. Nonetheless, it is clear that some charities now feel they are off the leash and can use public funds to promote Remain. They should understand that the money they receive from Brussels is our money, not EU money, and that with the cost savings and prosperity which Brexit will generate, we shall be better able to support charities. Meantime, Brexiters may choose to boycott any charity which is seen to be promoting Remain. Next heading, don't mention the war, crossed out, Brexit. Bank of America has instructed senior staff not to use the term Brexit, not to offer opinions, nor assume a particular outcome, and not to be involved in campaigning. Encouragingly, they have also reportedly cancelled a decision to donate £100,000 to the Remain campaign, in brackets, perhaps for fear of backing the wrong horse, out of brackets. Well done, those guys. Next heading, 1.6 million EU migrants settle in Britain in the last 9 years. The Mail reports that 1.6 million EU migrants have settled in the UK in the last 9 years. And as they helpfully add, that's the population of Manchester and Birmingham combined. There are those that will argue that these migrants will contribute to the British economy, and maybe that's so. But consider, if we've been able to select those migrants for the skills we need and to exclude the indigent and the unskilled, wouldn't that have been a better deal for Britain? And that is the policy UKIP argues for. Next heading, you pay for Roma gypsies' palaces. The Express reports that UK welfare payments are helping build palaces, in brackets, or at least large mansions, out of brackets, in Romania. It quotes, a small town, Tandauri, where 200 additional mansions, in brackets, 500,000 plus, have been built in recent years. Some may be offended by the use of the term Roma gypsies. If so, please suggest more acceptable terms which the Express might use. Answers on a postcard, please. Well, that's it for this week, folks. Hope you're having a great day. And until we meet again, it's bye for now. Thanks. Bye.